The Daily Talk Show, episode 2, you with Josh and Tommy.
Yeah, it's Wednesday the 17th of January 2018, and we're doing this every single weekday. What did we talk about, Tommy?
Oh, we got deep on YouTube rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
O-bikes.
Plane crashes.
It got a bit dark at times.
Yeah.
We went through a roller coaster of darkness. We went from being on the roller coaster, we can see the light, and to being on the ghost train.
I think it's good to have a bit of light and dark. I think that's nice. But I hope you enjoy this one. And you can also subscribe to us. It is the Daily Talk Show. And you can use iTunes or any podcasting app.
And check out our YouTube channels.
Yeah.
Josh and Jansen, and Tommy Jacket.
Tommy Jacket. And also, that's enough.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show. We loved having you listening. Bye-bye. Feedback for myself, low energy yesterday.
I gave you feedback as we were doing it.
Yeah. Well, you don't. I think it... You know when you have, if you feel like you got bad breath and you don't talk as loud or something? I think this microphone does that same sort of thing where it stops you from wanting to project.
Which one was it? Because you didn't want to come across, you didn't want to do the, make all those mistakes.
Yeah, I just don't give a fuck anymore. Listen, good. Look how much I'm projecting now.
One day in, the
you're
daily.
Probably in your car.
Fuck up. Listen to the last episode.
Yeah.
You talked about, you love to paint pictures and overthink everything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome to the Daily Talk Show, Josh and Tommy. Is it Tommy and Josh? Doesn't really matter.
I'm just like flipping between them on the different. So if you look on iTunes, it will, because we're egomaniacs, we just switch between the two fairly. So
hey, I was on the way over here and I saw this dude. He'd probably made a few bad life choices. He was very erratic walking down the street in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
And he had an orange juice in his hand and a plastic bag with something in there. Mm. And he's like waving his arms around, had a baseball cap on. And I saw him just walk past his house that had a whole bunch of doorbells and he just pressed them and kept walking. And I thought,
loose unit.
He might have known them. Or anyway, he did it again, 20 metres up the road. He was just walking past. He punched a letterbox. Pressed
heroin,
bells.
Right? Like, must isn't sugar, if you want sugar and stuff. No, I'm serious. Like, heroin addicts will, you'll see them at Coles or something. They'll buy like a whole cheesecake and just eat it themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that, have you honestly seen that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, they'll crave sugary things. So they'll drink Coca-Cola or they'll.
And you're not a heroin addict, but you do the whole
exactly.
cake thing as well.
I have the diet of someone who's hungover and someone who's on heroin.
Question, how many coffees is it for you before you get anxious?
Zero.
You're already anxious.
I'm just, no, I think black coffee does it more for me. Like just having the straight stuff.
Yeah.
It makes me feel a bit.
I've had two this morning and.
You're flicking with your finger or something. You're doing something.
I feel a bit anxious.
Yeah.
It's so weird because it's like, you know, it's the coffee, but it's.
But it doesn't stop you.
Yeah. I just shouldn't drink two strong coffees with little milk and just coffee.
When did you start drinking coffee?
My coffee habits, they've progressively got worse. Mm. Like being a dad now, I've got to that point. I used to be like, nah, I don't need coffee. I fucking feel like I need coffee.
Yeah.
And I still think about people who say, oh, I need a coffee in the morning. I think it's silly, but then I have started
it's just
going
like,
there.
Fuck off! But can I have one?
But try having a kid.
Yeah.
And so I.
Nah, I'm all right.
Nah, you're not having a kid anytime soon. So from, like, I remember when I was 18, I still wasn't even that into drinking coffee. And then I think about the kind of coffee that I've been drinking. So I've like progressively got it stronger. And I think about drinking a weak coffee or just a normal coffee that's quite weak when you've been drinking strong coffees.
Yeah.
And I think, yuck, that's just milk. And I was doing that.
But
so
you tried it. You use it as fuel. Like I feel like you're like we've got a shitty cafe near my joint and you're happy to go there over some of the hipster places.
Well, Long Blacks. I don't think most places don't stuff Long Blacks up.
Like we will go to 11-11?
7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
Mate, I'm big on 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Long Black coffees.
So you were doing, you're making a video about it.
I still am.
Yeah. What's the latest?
Maybe we just
it?
Talk about this because we talk a lot about ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the things of this new year that I'm road testing, and it's like putting the idea out there. I think a lot of people are scared to put ideas out there because they're then, what if I don't make it? People will judge. It's like, if you put out shitloads of ideas and you execute some, then you win.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is one of those ones, and I've made a segment of it. We both make videos. If you're just listening for the first time, we both have production companies.
Yeah, and why are you listening?
I don't know.
If you're not our mums, shout out to our mums for a second episode in.
Thank you. So this, I put it out on my Facebook, and it was like, what do you think of 7-Eleven coffee? And let me just tell you where it came from. My curiosity in seeing something become a phenomenon. I don't know if it's the right word, but it's like, it's definitely become a bit of a movement in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cheap, quick coffee to...
Well, coffee's overpriced, isn't it?
100% in Australia.
Isn't like coffee, like your mate, Tommy, that has a cafe, like... I think he was saying it was like 40 cents or something. Like it's low.
If
it probably up that number, I probably shouldn't apply.
I think on average 50 cents a cup for production of everything. Milk, coffee, cup, everything.
Yeah.
Electricity. Like if you were to work it out like that, I think 50 cents a cup. So it is, there's a massive price hike on it.
Yeah. But why are we accepting that as a day to day? Like we are fucking sheeple.
Yeah. So this is why I wanted to make the video. I am making the video. So you've got two ends of the spectrum. You've got the $4.90 coffee from this cafe in Collingwood that doesn't serve it with a lid. And if you order a cappuccino, it comes with no chocolate. Get fucked. If I'm paying that much money, I want a lid and I want chocolate now. Oh, and they don't do soy milk.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So it's massively overpriced. But then on the other side, you've got 7-Eleven coffee. Quick, DIY, $1 a cup. Like, taste is subjective, and I think it's not that bad.
It's sort of like it's the value. There's something interesting in value, and specifically using, say, American hotels as an example, right? If you go to a really nice hotel in the US, you'll pay for Wi-Fi, you'll pay extra for breakfast, you pay for everything, right? Like I was a Hilton Honors thing that I got through Virgin, and you'd get like a free bottle of water, but that was it, right? You'd have to pay for all of this stuff. Whereas the El Cheapo places, like your Hampton Inns, those sort of establishments, they'll give you everything. They'll give you free breakfast. They'll give you water on arrival. They'll give you free cookies. So there's this interesting thing where it's like, it's bullshit marketing, isn't it?
Well, I think 7-Eleven doing something good with their marketing, or it's a, here's another
thing. Well, 7-Eleven is being like the Hampton Inn. They're saying like, screw paying heaps for all of this stuff and screw it not doing it your way. Just have the coffee the way you want it.
Yeah.
Can you get chocolate on the cappuccinos there?
Oh, I don't know. They might have a chocolate thing to put on. Yeah, I reckon they might.
I would overuse that.
So they're on their way to selling, I think it's like $50 million worth of cups.
Wow.
And it's only been around for 4 or 5 years, as in those DIY machines.
Then they become like a coffee shop. They essentially, like, their business, you look at their business and you're like, well.
Dude, if there were seats at 7-Eleven, I would sit out there just drinking a coffee.
Mm.
But then, so my curiosity goes into people who drink it on the down low because they don't want to be seen. I've felt like that. It's like a coffee snob going, I don't want to be seen drinking this.
Can you use a keep cup?
Good question. Yeah, because there's $1, $2, $3. It's just size. So if you press the $1, you're just going to pay for the $1.
Sure.
It's a good point. I've heard people doing hacks with 7-Eleven coffee. So like two $1 short blacks.
Yeah.
Meaning it should cost $2 short, in one cup. So you're getting basically a stronger coffee, but you're manipulating the machine where you should really be paying $2, but you're getting
Be. I feel like that's less of a hack and that's a stealing, right? Because it's not, if it was something like you pressed a button, like if we worked out that if you fill the one up, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, what was the hack? Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like it's not a hack. It's just, it's thievery.
It's not clever.
I still haven't done it yet.
It's not clever.
But so I asked the guy at most stores I go to, whoever is there, I say, how many cups do you sell a day?
Mm.
Most of them have said around 500.
Yeah. The last guy, when we asked him, he was a bit shady about the whole thing. He's like, he thought you were going to rub his till. So how much cash do you have?
I contacted 7-Eleven's marketing, or I just called up the hotline.
Yeah.
And they couldn't give me, because they don't make it, public, of how many cups they're actually selling.
Yeah.
I was hoping they did. Either way, I actually have heard that if you get the $3,
mm-hmm.
so you press the $3 and you put the $2 cup underneath it, it won't overflow. So I don't know if they've changed this. I've got to test this out with you.
I still think that's thievery, isn't it?
No. It is, but here's the thing. I don't know if it's the machines. I don't know if they've fixed it, but I saw a guy online do it. He got a $2 cup.
Yeah.
And he put a $3 coffee into the $2 cup, okay. and it didn't overflow.
Okay.
So 7-Eleven were ripping people off.
Okay. So you're actually better off just getting a $2 coffee.
Well, I don't know, and that's part of the video. Yeah, I want to test out this, because a guy got there was heaps of publicity around this.
Mm.
This dude from, I think, Pascot Vale did it,
mm-hmm.
and he came out. But and then I thought, how could they fix this? It'd just be a tweak in every one of the machines. The machines are worth nearly $30,000 each as well. So this is where my mind goes. When I have ideas for videos, it's my innate curiosity on a subject.
Well, that was like with the O-bike stuff. Where's that ended? That's ended, hasn't it?
It doesn't end. So I made a video, if you haven't seen it, O-bikes, bike sharing, that are dockless. So
you can put it in the podcast description so people can watch.
Yeah, you can basically park these bikes anywhere, unlock them with an iPhone app, and you pay on your credit card, and then you just lock them when you finish riding them wherever. And that was the problem. People ended up throwing them and littering them everywhere. And I made a video of me fishing them out of the river.
Oh, bike fishing. You made t-shirts. You sold them. You finally sent that check to Clean Up Australia.
How much did you raise? For charity. Was that?
How much did you raise?
I raised $1,520.
Yeah, great.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much effort that one's actually going to take. So it cost me money, essentially. But that's why we do it, for charity. Anyway, so that video, what were we talking about? Fucking forgot.
Because you're just getting off. Mate, you made the donation now. You don't have it. He was being worried because he'd been trying to get in contact with a person from Clamp Australia. He hadn't made the donation yet. And he's just waiting to be called out. So me saying that's triggered him and he's completely lost his train of thought. But you were talking about I don't know either.
You brought up O-bikes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was around the curiosity on something. That's right.
Yeah. I think that's similar with O-bike, right? You find something which is, I would describe as zeitgeisty. People are interested in it. People are like, why?
Where's it landed is what you said.
Hmm?
You said, where's it landed?
Yeah, oh yeah, where's it landed?
I've made too many videos about O-bikes. I don't think I can make another one.
Yeah.
I honestly think they're doomed. Like, and if anyone's an O-bike professional, the amount of conversations I've had about these bloody bikes.
The whole industry's doomed, or just O-bike?
I think O-bike themselves. I saw on the way here at least 5 that were just on Punt Road that were absolutely ruined. One spray painted, one with seaweed from like somewhere.
How many bikes are there in circulation in Melbourne?
They said something like 2,000.
So 2,000. How much do you reckon each bike would cost?
They're about $400. I think they're $400.
$400.
So they're cheap.
So it's probably, like, you think about how venture capitalists like spend money on shit. Spending, even if they were like saying putting $1 million in the launch, that buys them a shit ton of bikes.
Mm.
Gets a couple of people on salaries for a year. Like, it's not that expensive. When you think about the exposure that they've gotten, it's not that expensive to do this shit.
I've seen more people riding them, but more people riding ones that have been stolen.
Yeah.
I think there's a movement around hipster or young dudes that it's cool to have a stolen O-bike.
Yeah.
And you saw it when you were at my house. Yeah. I was on my balcony looking down, and this skater kid was riding an O-bike that had the lock completely removed, and then he just dumped it and got into his dad's car.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to avoid nostalgia, but you would have been a kid that would have done that.
110%.
Yeah.
But I also look at it now and I don't like people doing it. I don't give a shit about O-bikes personally. They've done a lot for me. I've probably made more out of them than they got out of their own business. My mate said to me, we're talking about this, and he's like, actually, I sent him a text message saying, O-bike, they built a business, but it just wasn't theirs. It was mine.
It's very true.
So I don't know if they're making money, but I would have done it as a kid. But yeah, you shouldn't. It's weird because there's this detachment from vandalism to something.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, O-bike have fucking been negligent in leaving these things absolutely everywhere, or at least providing a providing something that then can be left absolutely everywhere.
Yeah. You just hope that as a community and as individuals, we can say, okay, like, let's not be dickheads.
Mm.
But I'm just surprised more shit doesn't happen, to be honest. Like, given how many crazy people there are in the world, like, we're pretty lucky that we're here, that nothing, like, yeah, I mean, I made the mistake of watching the news the other day. Like, I watched CNN heaps.
Yeah.
Because it feels a bit, I feel a bit detached by their news. Like, oh, geez, America, look at everything that's happening. Mm. And then you put on, like, the Channel 7 news. And just like a guy who was working at Domino's got shot in Australia. It's like someone was trying to rob him. And I was watching even that, like one of those police shows, and they, like ICE, all these people on ICE. It's very drug
focused. I had a friend who was working in a video store, have a gun.
In 1993?
It probably was. He's older than us. He's in his 40s, but he, no joke, had a, I think it was a shotgun or a handgun pointed at him in a hold up in a video store.
That's crazy.
That's not happening anymore.
For a while.
He was rattled by it. He just spoke about it a couple of times, but wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Like, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about stuff has been happening for a long time, but all the bollards that are being put in around places, like in St Kilda, out the front of Luna Park now, there's all these concrete bollards to prevent people driving up onto the footpath.
Yeah. And they've got that in New York City now as well. They've installed them all. But do you know what I think about? Someone is making some serious coin, like some like concrete bollard company.
Dude, this is so funny you say that. The ones in St Kilda have now got like colourful cases that have been put on them to make them look less of an eyesore.
Yeah.
Before that, for a couple of weeks, in spray paint, a stencil, concretebollards.com.au.
Wow.
So someone's seen that as an opportunity. Maybe they were just creating concrete things anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, we provide this concrete. But there's so many people who are like, I can't remember how much. Like in the US, it was like $50 million or something spent
on that. And they're probably tenders through the councils to companies, and they're just coming and we can make those.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating. Businesses off the back of
horrible shit. I mean, well, that's what like all the military, all the war stuff, all that sort of thing. Like, just imagine all of that stuff. It's pretty crazy.
This got dark, didn't it?
Yeah, it got really dark. And I can sometimes go down, I want to find out if you think this is dark.
Yeah.
I got down a rabbit hole a few days ago of on YouTube watching, for some reason it like recommended a plane crash, but not just a plane crashing. It wasn't. It was an emergency landing, and it's inside the plane.
Oh no!
So it's these people like imagine if you were in a plane, and all of a sudden it's going down, and you pull out your phone, and it's like, so that I watched this vlogger dude in a plane as he's like he's filming himself as he's putting on his life vest and people are freaking out. There's a whole section on YouTube, like if you type it in, where you can see emergency landings. Like, talk about people watching.
Crazy. So on Christmas, I was talking to a family friend who's a pilot for Tiger.
Yeah.
And I was asking him all these questions. Just everyone thought I was being a big weirdo, but I was asking like, when there's turbulence, is the plane getting sent up or down?
Yeah.
Which one do you think?
down.
It's doing both. Yeah. So you can actually be thrown upwards.
You tricked me there. I was trying to pick one. If you said it was both, I thought it was fucking both because it's fucking bumping up and down. You got air pockets. I'm not an idiot.
But sometimes it can just be up. So you're just getting sent thrown up.
Yeah. But also sometimes they could be moving in a big way to try and get away from weather too.
Why do you have to put your bloody shades up when you're landing?
So that they can see if there's any fires or any issues.
Yeah, so the cabin crew can see it. And maybe I just haven't been listening when they actually say that, but he said that they play a hugely important role, the girls at the back or the guys at the back, looking out and seeing what's going on. What I was getting at, though, was landing. Because I said to him, Hudson River, and he said, this is a bloody great movie, and it's very spot on about it.
Yeah.
But I said, do you think you could land on water? Mm-hmm. Like if we were coming down Port Phillip Bay?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I reckon I could. And he said...
This is at Christmas after a couple, is it?
No. But then he said about landing planes, he's like, I literally do nothing. They land themselves. Like he's just in there and they land them. Really? Auto land.
Yeah, autopilot type stuff. But I thought they turned off autopilot for takeoffs and landings.
No, autopilot's probably cruising, but this is landing. He literally says.
Yeah. They have like the landing like lights and shit, sensors and things. But after watching the plane stuff, I ended up watching videos of in the cockpit, what turbulence looks like in a cockpit. Man, I
want to watch this.
YouTube is great.
Rabbit holes.
Yeah, but it's flying. Whenever I go into a plane, I'm just accepting the fact that I'm probably going to die.
You're an anxious dude. Even if I'm anxious from coffee, getting on a plane, I don't freak out. But
I don't freak out. No, I don't freak out at all. There's this real relaxation.
It's just like, you know what? I'm done. If this goes down, I'm done.
And we're all going down together. And the thing is, because it's so big, it's not like someone's stabbing you.
Mm.
It's like the plane's going to tear apart and we're just going to, my head's going to rip off its fucking whatever's attached to. And it's going to happen with everyone, right? And so that amount of, I don't know, what is it called? Like velocity or something in being torn apart. Like we're not going to feel that. Like just imagine like getting, I imagine it would be like getting your back cracked.
It would be nothing like getting your fucking back cracked.
It would be, I think there'd be a slight bit of pleasure just before you go out. You know, they say people who drown, they all have like erections. Men all have erections.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's like the blood circulation or something like that.
Fuck. That's horrible.
Yeah.
It would be nothing like that. You'd be thinking in the last moments of your life exactly what is about to happen.
Well, it depends of how quickly it happens. You think about the Malaysia Airlines one where it just the missile like got hit. The one, not the one that's lost and they don't know where it is.
No.
The one that just got like blown up. Like you'd be like, well, what's out in the window? Bang.
But there was people that were still in their seats.
Everyone would be in your seat.
No, some actually got blown out of their seats. Whatever. Yeah. This is really dark, but I went on a rabbit hole with that too.
Yeah.
And I went to a site called Live Leak.
Never go on Live Leak.
Don't a YouTube like dead rabbit hole's okay. Type stuff and Live Leak. I just clicked. It was like the top thing when you typed it in. It's horrible. But I reckon we move on. This is
it's too really dark. Fucking dark. It's too dark. What's something happy we can talk about? What's the best piece of mail you've ever received? Could be a letter. Could be something that gave you the most amount of joy.
I got, and I made a video on it, a piece of fan mail. And I made a video about the fact that I got a piece of fan mail because I don't get fan mail.
Yeah.
And I don't...
You need fans for fan mail.
He's this guy over in Germany or something, country of that way.
Good and dark.
He sent me a t-shirt and it had my name on it. It was his brand.
Oh, that's right.
He gave one to my wife, Amy.
Yeah.
And we wore them. They're actually a good t-shirt. I still wear it. Amy still wears hers.
That's awesome.
And so I got it in the mail and it felt good. But as I was getting here, a mailman was here for you. Got a P.O. box, you big weird.
Yeah, I love mail. I love the logistics. I love watching on the courier's website and seeing like, oh, look, it feels like you're traveling because it's like, look at that parcel. And I feel the parcel. I'm like, Like, you've just been in Hawaii.
You asked me a question because you want me to ask you. What is it?
Like, I reckon the coolest thing would be the Amazon affiliates. Like, when I signed up, when I had a blog called Melbourne Geek and I got my first check, and that would have been for like $700 US.
Crazy, making money for recommending a product.
Yeah, and it's just like getting that and just being like, man, this has come from like a big company. It's like a check. That was cool.
Actually, the coolest thing I got was when there used to be this website that you could go onto and print off an order form for fireworks from Canberra. And I got...
Bullshit.
No shit.
How old were you?
I would have been maybe 12. No, 13. So year 7, really into fireworks. And it was still wasn't... It was illegal, but you could still obtain them. So my brother and I, we got this order form, bought some Goon Lees, bought some Skyrockets, bought a bunch of different stuff, and sent away this thing with a check in it.
It's amazing.
In the mail, and we got back a box couriered to us of fireworks.
Isn't that insane?
I grew up talking to my old man because he was from the day when Guy
Fawkes... Nostalgia alert.
Guy Fawkes. So there was like a day dedicated to fireworks.
Yeah.
And you could buy penny Tom Thumbs, penny bangers, all this stuff from the local milk bar.
Yeah.
And he'd tell me stories about this. So I was so fascinated. And then he was lax on the fact that his kid had a piece of dynamite, essentially. Right. We would blow up shit all the time. And me and my bro, we bought fireworks. So, and then we got in the mail and I just remember that box and it had a smell to it. Have you smelled fireworks?
Down. Yeah, it's great.
It's not even the firework.
It's the packaging and all that. Well, it's a Chinese, like, yes. Yeah.
That's, I love the smell of that.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I wanted to be a pyrotechnician. I wanted my pyrotechnics license.
How much?
Just to be, it was about, you can do the courses, I think, for about $4,000.
Yeah.
But then I got pyrotechnics in my year 12 film. I looked at how like hands-on it is. Because like you're like cabling shit and you're like, it's not like a pretty job.
So, and you definitely don't like using your hands.
I'm so unco. So I couldn't do it. Like, so, but yeah, I've always loved fireworks. I made a film, Goodbye Philippines, where I went to the Philippines and got to film it like where illegal fireworks were being made, which is quite sad. It's, you know, people who are like risking their lives, they're putting... Or playing with all these chemicals. Oh,
there's a bit in the documentary. We're going to link this as you're linking my O-Bike one. We'll link your documentary too. There's some sticky stuff that happens. Tell us about that.
So the tradition around New Year's is that a few things in the Philippines. One of them is pyrotech, like loud noises, banging and all that sort of thing. They've since moved a lot to like horns, you know, like the Vovo, like horns.
Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Not Vovo. the biscuit. But...
sticky thing, tell us.
Yeah, the sticky thing, they believe that they're very superstitious and stuff, and they believe eating sticky food will mean that the family will stick together.
Like sticky rice?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And the problem is that they eat it with their hands. And I spoke to a surgeon in the Philippines who was saying that they would have a lot of cases where people would eat sticky food and then they would have firecrackers and they would try to throw them and they would stick to their hand. That type of thing that happened. But also, there's a firecrackers called the Judas belt, which is like the...
Yeah.
You know, it's like the big belt that goes bang, 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 bang.
Looks like a traditional Chinese firework when you see them holding on a big stick or something.
Yeah.
It's little pieces of dynamite, essentially.
Yeah, it's very, very noisy. The problem with those are in the hundreds, you know, like a belt can have, you know, a heap of the little crackers. They don't all go off.
Mm.
So one of the biggest times for injury is actually the day later when the kids go around. And they obviously, like, they want to play with them and they pick them up and their hands explode.
Did you meet anyone?
Yeah, I saw... We spoke to a guy who'd lost a finger. But the interesting one was the surgeon. We went into the emergency and, you know, they would have dozens of people every single year just at that one hospital with injuries.
Mm.
But...
So you see why parents, more so they're banned now in Australia.
Yeah, well, I mean, I bought some in Florida and made the excuse I was getting them to take video for Bree's birthday because I was away. So we got these fireworks and... what we found out is even though that they're readily available, you could only use them for agricultural purposes, like scaring away birds. But we just spent...
turns out it's nice and colourful.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Well as
they're all these like crazy like marketing, you know, type of fireworks. But the we ended up contacting the sheriff, the local sheriff, and we drove there. It was like 9:30 at night and they weren't open. But I gave him a call, put on my best Aussie accent and said, "Hey, mate, I'm from Australia. Just bought these fireworks. What can I do with them?" He's like, "Oh, well, you can't let them off, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Oh, well, I'm doing this video for my girlfriend." He said, "Oh, look, just find somewhere where there's no one around."
What a legend.
Yeah, it was amazing. So we ended up, I was with my friend who's a US citizen. So I got him to light them and we did it on the side of a highway, which was the quietest spot we could find. But, the theory being that if we got pulled over or arrested, I wouldn't get deported. And because he's a US citizen, he'd be okay.
But so it's still illegal in America?
Oh, no. The US is so state-by-state basis. Mm. Like...
it's like weed being legal in some and you'll go to jail in others.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's the same bizarre thing with the fireworks. You can get... But the thing is that even though you see... these huge fireworks stores, it doesn't necessarily mean like they'll have, you might be able to do them in during 4th of July things like that. But I think the novelty wears off. Like I think once you have them all the time, there's only the real nut jobs that are like, "Oh, let's get our fireworks for the weekend." Yeah. Right. You sort of, and the same with the Philippines, you can buy fireworks all the time, but if you let off fireworks and it's not like Christmas, New Year's, people are like, "Why are you wasting the fireworks?" Because it's like very time specific. And there's areas specifically in Bukawi, Bulacan in the Philippines where everyone goes. And that's where they're storing huge amounts of fireworks. So there is a bit of risk to it. And I went to a fire station and spoke to them. And it's insane.
YouTube, rabbit hole.
Yeah,
fireworks factory exploding.
Oh mate, I saw a live leak one. I saw the live leak one where it's like, which is insane. You see like a body or whatever that's like it's crazy. It's been very dead body heavy. Yeah,
this has been real dark. This episode number two.
Yeah, number two's in the can. We'll obviously be doing this every day, every weekday.
Back tomorrow.
Feel free to subscribe.
Check out Josh's YouTube channel where the one that I was talking about.
That's not my full stack one, but we'll link it up and we'll link up your video as well. And please don't even if you don't use iTunes, if you've got an iPhone, there's some way better podcasting apps because the podcast app on the iPhone is a little bit difficult to use.
It annoys the shit out of me.
So what did you say?
It annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem with the headphone thing.
anyway, we're done. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Please subscribe. You're listening to The Daily Talk Show. And it's been Josh and Tommy. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.